Alright, we're in the book of Acts chapter 7, and last Thursday we stopped at verse number 14. We're going to begin at verse 15. Let's begin questions at vfcbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call, give us an email, questions at vfcbc.org, or 856-261-9018. We'd like to hear from you. Give us a comment, a question, or just say hello. We'd love to hear from you. Let's read verses 15, 16, and 17 of chapter 7 of Acts together. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and they were carried into Shechem and laid in a sepulcher that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Hamor, the son of the son of Shechem. And when the time of promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, people grew and multiplied in Egypt. By whose being spoken of here? Who's speaking in this chapter 7?
Stephen.
Okay. In chapter 6, we saw Stephen was selected along with others. For what purpose?
Deacon.
That's sort of like a deacon. To serve tables and to help the apostles. And at the last part of chapter 6, there were some false teachers that came and said some things about Stephen. What did they say? What general things did they say in chapter 6 about this apostle or
blasphemed.
Blasphemed the Lord and told to follow the things of Moses and
against the law and
so on. And then in the first verse of this chapter 7, the high priest simply asked, are these things so? And so because of that, Stephen starts answering. There's all the background, real long lesson, real long chapter of his speaking. So we get to verse 14, and how many people went down into Egypt when the famine was there in Israel?
75.
All right, there's 75. 75 souls came from Canaan down to Egypt. And then, as it says in verse 15, Jacob went down to Egypt and died, he and our fathers. Who would be the fathers? What does that mean? He and our fathers.
Patriarchs.
Okay, in other words, not necessarily physical fathers, but those that were leaders in the Jewish faith.
They died in Egypt,
is that what it means? Yes, they died in Egypt. In other words, all of them went down in Egypt, the 75 souls, and every one of them died in Egypt. How many years were they in Egypt, roughly?
400 years.
About 400 years. That's right, 400 years. There's different numbers, some 400, some few years later or more, but this particular chapter says 400 years. And they all died in Egypt. And then in verse 16, and what happened to their bodies? What did they do with these who died, these Israelites in Egypt, that pagan Egypt land?
Went back to Canaan.
Sychem, and laid in a sepulcher. What sepulcher was this that they buried in it?
I don't understand. Everybody that died wasn't taken back to Egypt.
It seems like Jacob doesn't, but it seems from this reading, does it not, that he and their fathers died and were carried. That's plural.
Sounds like they took all the back.
They may have. See, this New Testament straightens out what is in the Old Testament. It wasn't as clear. And so, according to this,
a lot of people take back.
Well, because they said to take Joseph when they left.
Yes, to take Joseph
when they left.
Yes, when they left, to be sure to take Joseph. Because he was the one that would die first, probably, then the others would follow. But,
are we talking about all the Jews or just Jacob?
Jacob's family, the fathers, yes. Isaac and Jacob, Joseph. Or not Isaac, but Jacob and his sons.
Cave of Machpelah.
That's right, the cave. And who bought that cave? And what was the circumstance? Why did Abraham buy that cave?
For
Sarah. And did the Shechem say, but give it to you free? And what did Abraham say?
No, I'll pay for it.
So he did pay for it for a good sum of money and bought that cave. And that's where he buried Sarah. And so that's where they took also Joseph and laid him to rest there.
Leah, I think, was buried there.
Well, Leah too, you're right. Leah was there. And so this was the family burying plot. And bought for some money from Hamor, the father of Shechem. And then verse 17, what does it mean when the time of promise drew nigh? What is this promise? What did God promise? What is it?
Deliverance
in one promise. What else?
The promise of the promised land.
What did God promise regarding the promised land of Canaan?
They would be there, not the place to live.
Their descendants, their daughter, they would dwell in the
everlasting covenant.
Everlasting covenant, and they would possess that land, the Canaan. And so the time drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham. See, now Abraham himself, did he possess Canaan?
No.
His life, no, it was later on, see. But he went down 400 years, some other verses say 430 years, in Egypt. But when the time of promise arrived, it's now going to be yours, what happened? In verse 17. What happened to the people of Israel?
They grew
and multiplied in Egypt. So they were very, very productive. And then let's read verse 18, 19, and 20. Yes, Lot.
What about burying? Does that just mean Jacob's family or Joseph's family? Or did it mean all the Israelites?
So I think just the ones that are mentioned here, the 75 probably, the ones that brought down, went back, and were buried there.
Okay.
But according to this, it's plural, so we just assume that this is the case.
No, I don't think the burying place was big enough for
Israel. No, possibly not all.
Israel.
60 of them. Not possibly not. But they were all carried back anyway into Shechem. It doesn't say how big the sepulcher was or what this is, the line and how much was it.
It could lay in the sepulcher that Abraham
had. Yes. Could be a large place.
Yeah.
We're not really sure, but
probably not all of Israel,
though.
They would not take
it. No, just the right. Fathers.
I mean, Joseph wasn't taken there. I mean, he was taken there.
Yes, later on, yes.
But the point, he wasn't taken there immediately.
No. Pardon me? No, not immediately.
No,
that's true. That's true.
But the point was that he wasn't taken there immediately, but it was, I don't know what the point is, but...
Yes, but they were carried into Shechem, Israel, after when they died. See, each of them died in their own time, of course. And then the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. And so then verse 18, what does this mean? Till another came. What does that mean? Till. Until.
Later
on. In other words, it was something that would be changing. What happened later on?
Pharaoh
did not know Joseph. Another king rule. Yeah, Bill?
We have to read 18, 19, and 20 yet.
Oh, we didn't read that? I thought we did.
No, we didn't.
Oh, okay. Let's read 18, 19, and 20. Thank you, Bill. Till another king rose, which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children, to the end they might not live. In which time Moses was born, was exceeding fair, and nourished up his father's house 3 months. Alright, so they multiplied till another king rose. We knew not that another Pharaoh rose up, and didn't know it was the name, knew not Joseph. What would that imply?
You know history of Joseph.
No history?
This is a different dynasty, probably.
Right. The Pharaoh that preceded this new Pharaoh, what did he know about Joseph?
He just knew history.
All right, what did he know? What did the first Pharaoh know about him?
Well, there's more than one Pharaoh, probably.
Well, I mean, the Pharaoh that...
400 years.
400 years, that's true. But I'm talking about the first Pharaoh that, when Joseph was there, originally...
He had first-hand experience of what Joseph... How God
and
used
what,
Joseph.
And what did the Pharaoh appoint Joseph to do?
In charge of him. He was like the first vice
president. Right under the Pharaoh. So he really respected Joseph. And his other king did not know Joseph. And so we don't get along.
The next Pharaoh might have known of Joseph. You know, and then the more the father came from the Pharaoh that knew Joseph, the less
influence. Mm-hmm. And so they rose, and what did this new king do to the Israelites in verse 19? What does it mean, doubt subtly? What's that mean? Subtly.
Mm-hmm. He was treacherous.
Treacherous, all right. That's part of it. Deceitfully, subtly, treacherously. With our kindred, who would the kindred be then?
The Jews.
It'd be the Jews that were there in the family. And what did they do? What did they do specially in verse 19?
They remained to the fathers and treated them badly.
Even treated them badly. Even treated them badly. In fact, what was the final penalty that he told them to do in verse 19?
Throw your babies into the river.
Which babies?
Boy babies
in the river. Kill them. And they may not live. Why did the king want to do that today?
Because being outnumbered, the Egyptians were being outnumbered by Israel.
All right.
And they
being the Son of Man. They were not only growing in population, but they were becoming mighty.
Are we mighty? And why did you read it?
I had heard once that it was because they were trying to stop the line of Jesus. If they got rid of the poor babies, then the line of Jesus would have been
stopped. That's true. That would be true, wouldn't it?
It would have been from Satan.
Would be the truth. That's absolutely true. That would be the result.
Right.
And why just the boys? Why not the girls and boys? Was it?
It wouldn't be necessary.
Wouldn't be necessary. And of course, the boys would be the ones in the army and strong and maybe rebel against the king. So they decided to slay the male, their young children. Yeah, Bob.
And the boys, a king would come again.
Right. Well, that's okay.
Yes, come the daughter would be the king. Would be a king would come and reign and rule. And during this time that they would not live, in verse 20, what is told us there?
Moses
was born during the time when the king wanted to kill him. What kind of a child was he for Israel?
Beautiful.
We can see him. And how long was he kept at home before something else happened?
3 months.
3 months. And so, what did in the book of the Old Testament, what did Pharaoh say for the women that were bringing forth the children? What did they do? Kill them. So they were told to, they were, what do you call those women? Midwives. They're told to slay the children. All right, let's read verse 21, 22, and 23 together. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own coming. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in word and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, he came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Questions at dfdc.org, 856-261-9018. It was a call, a comment, a question. Say hello. Glad to hear from you. When he was cast out, who's the he?
Moses.
Now, he was nursed up in his own mother's house. How long?
3 months.
3 months. And so, what's the name he was cast out? Who cast him out?
Miriam put him in the water.
Was it?
Miriam put him in the water.
Oh, right. But that's true. So he was, his mother and father cast him out of their house because they felt he's probably going to be crying and different things. They were jumped. So they took him and put him where?
In a basket.
In bull rushes.
Floating basket.
Was it?
Put him on the water.
Miriam. Right where the princess was bathed. Right where the princess was bathed, Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter took him up. From where then?
In the water.
On the water. And what did she do for her?
She cared for
his
only son.
She adopted him. What is your first question she asked the sister Miriam, Moses' sister Miriam?
Who could take care of him?
Was it taken? Yeah, it was his mother or something. Yeah. He had a nurse. Didn't say his mother, but do you have anyone that could nurse this baby for me? And what did Mary do?
She said,
like his own mother. And so I don't know how many months more beyond that. He was brought up with his own mother and taught the things of the Lord, I'm sure.
And this day is her one, sometimes 4 or 5 years old.
Yes, that is true.
So I'm sure Jacobet, what's her name, Jacobet?
Jacobet was the mother.
She kind of nursed him as long as she could.
As long as she could.
And she taught him all she could.
Yes, as her own son, the Pharaoh's daughter, but she still had to have a Hebrew nurse to nurse him and make him to get stronger. And then in verse 22, what does it say about Moses?
Smart.
All right. Learned in all the wisdom.
Educated.
All the wisdom of the Egyptians. Now, how wise were they?
Three wise.
What were some of the things that we know that they'd be wise? What did they build?
Mathematics for the pyramids.
They're trying to sphinx, all these different monuments. So whatever the wisdom was, he was learning. Yes,
when he was done with his mother, then his stepmother, his adopted mother, took him and he learned all the Egyptian ways. Because he was a prince, he could go to the best school, to have the best teacher,
yes.
The best everything.
And
which was very good for him when he had reason.
What do you think his mother taught him in the 3 months and then maybe the next couple, 2, 3, 4 years She was in the house.
Probably
the word of God, the scriptures in the Old Testament. He knew the Lord.
And
he was probably told him that. So the wisdom of Egypt, which was more important? The wisdom his mother taught him or the wisdom of Egypt?
The mother's.
And the mother's taught him the scriptures, the things of the Lord. That's what we assume, because he knew the scriptures didn't enough. And so all the wisdom of Egypt, mighty in words and deeds. What does that mean?
I think that's really interesting, because when God called him, he said he was slow of speech.
Yes.
For it says he's mighty in words.
Yes, he was slow of speech. When God called him, that was his excuse, wasn't it?
Right. Uh-huh.
That's right. And here, mighty in words and deeds. Now, this is Stephen's analysis of it. And then, verse 23, what happened when he was 40?
He went to visit his brothers.
Okay, visit his brothers and children Israel.
So he must have known he was Jewish.
He knew he was Jewish. And he was sort of hidden for 40 years. He didn't go too much with the Israelites. What were the Israelites doing during these 40 years? Were they having a wonderful time in Egypt?
No.
What were they doing?
They were slaves.
They were slaves, and so it was very difficult for them. And so he just thought he'd go out and see about what these brethren were doing, what these Jewish brethren were doing to visit. Now let's read verse 24, 25, and 26 again. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him, avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptians. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how the God at his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. The next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and without again, saying, sirs, ye are brethren, why do you do wrong one to another? So in verse 24, he went to see his brethren, and what was happening to some of the children of Israel here? What does it mean suffering wrong? What does that mean?
Maybe beaten.
And what did Moses do to the one that was being beaten?
Told
him. To the one that was being beaten, the Israelite. What did he do to the Israelite?
He defended him
and avenged him. What does that mean? Avenged him.
He killed an Egyptian.
He killed an Egyptian. He took vengeance. Of course, it says scripture, vengeance is mine, I will repay, said the Lord. But he avenged him. That was oppressed. Oppressed meaning
pushed down
and trodden down.
Enslaved.
Smote the Egyptian. Let's say he killed him, but we know from other places he did kill the Egyptian. Mm-hmm. Now, I wonder why he had to think he had to kill the Egyptian. What do you think?
He was angry.
Maybe the Egyptian had a sword and was trying to kill him. I don't know. Whether it was self-defense or whatever it was. But he did kill him. He slew the Egyptian. Now, then in 25, he supposed. What does this mean?
He thought.
His brethren would have done what?
Understood.
What did he think they would have understood?
That he was going to deliver them.
Maybe he told them that. I don't know how they would understand that by just their mind. But maybe he told them, maybe he discussed it with them, that God by his hand would deliver them. What does that mean, deliver them? From what?
Free them from slavery,
free them out of Egypt. Yes, Mom?
So I wonder if he got the idea when he defended him with the Egyptian, or when he went there that he knew he was supposed to deliver him. I wonder if God had moved his heart somehow that he knew. I mean, when did he get the idea that he was going to the deliverer?
I know that later on, when God spoke to him with the burning bush,
he didn't want to,
and he told him what he's going to do. We don't know. It's one of those things that are not told in the scripture, but apparently something he told to the brethren that this was going to happen, and they didn't understand. They understood not. They didn't know that Moses was anything. Were these brethren happy with Moses?
Yeah.
No, even though he defended this one person. And then
the person that was delivered was happy.
Yes, I'm sure he was happy.
Next group.
Yeah, and then verse number 26. Yeah, fine.
Moses came. He's a prince. And whether he liked it or not, he was princely. He was right. Trained. And he was dressed in Egyptian clothes, probably. But he carried himself different than all the other Jewish people because he was not oppressed. When you're oppressed, you're down.
Right.
So he might have gotten the idea there when he saved when he killed that one man to save his people. Mm-hmm. He might have got the idea that he was supposed to do this maybe at that time.
Just one that is. It's interesting because the Old Testament wasn't called until after he went out of the burning bush.
He was 40 years old.
40 years old. So, but anyhow, verse 26, what happened the next, oh, excuse me, 10.
Yeah, Abraham was told by God if, you know, they would be there for a certain number of
years,
they would, you know, come to Canaan. So,
yes.
If he would have been taught all of that, he would have known that there would be a point in which they would leave.
Mm-hmm. His mother might have told him.
His mother told him.
Because he was so smart, he could remember, but if he wasn't.
But yeah, I'm sure he didn't know the full
power. He might have
power.
Remember enough. Yeah.
So that it's going to be inside of him. That he was Jewish.
Very
dear. See, the New Testament gives a spectrum of information that the Old Testament doesn't say, because we don't know in the Old Testament that he was going to deliver them. But apparently something happened that they told the brethren that he's going to be I. Don't know how. And they didn't understand. What happened the next day in verse 26?
Did we do 24?
We do 24:5. Now we got 26.
Okay. Showed up again.
He showed himself again. But to them, who's to them, first?
Israel.
Israel. As they stroke. What does that mean?
Israel.
Huh?
Isn't verse 24 extra, or is it still what went on? He defended
this. No, it's two different instances. Two different instances. One day, then the next day. See, separate instances. So, verse 26. They strove, meaning what? They were fighting. Who was fighting? The Egyptians?
Two Israelites.
And would have set them at one again. What does would have set them at one again? What's that mean? Would have.
He would have separated them?
He would have set them. Maybe he wanted to. See, he would have wanted to stop them from fighting. Because they were fighting among themselves. As they strove, they were battling. And what did he say to stop the fight? He asked the question.
Brethren, why do you wrong one another? He couldn't figure it out.
Brethren, that's right. So he tried to try to break it up. Let's read 27, 28, 29 together. But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me? As I did the Egyptians yesterday. Then fled Moses at this saying, was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. Why verse 27? What was the reaction of the tough guy, the one that was beating up on the other brother?
He became friends with the one who was beating up, and he was against Moses.
All right.
He told him,
he thrust him away. He that did his name thrust him away. Who's the him referred to? Moses pushed him away. And he asked a question. What was his question?
Are you going to kill me like
you did? That's right. But first things before that, who made you a ruler and a judge? In other words, a judge, what is a judge supposed to do?
Make a sentence
and decide who's right, who's wrong, and come up with a decision, see? So, what was the judgment that Moses made in this case?
In this case, he ran away.
Well, that's true, but
he wanted them to stop fighting.
So the judgment he made was, you shouldn't fight your brothers. Why are you doing this? See, you got enough problems being slaves. So the judgment was, you shouldn't fight. Who made you a judge and ruler over us? And then the question was in verse 28, what did this animal, the beast, the one that was
beating up, kill me?
Now, in the case of killing the Egyptian there, in verse 24, what was wrong? What did the Egyptian do to the Jewish brother?
He was oppressing him
and hurting him, whatever it was. And whatever it was, when Moses interceded, he may have had a sword, and he may have had maybe a self-defense, but anyway, he slew him. So wilt thou kill me? So this Egyptian history.
Moses saw it, nobody saw him.
Then they talked about it. Verse 28. And then 29, in fact it says in the Old Testament that when he knew that everybody knew about it, he left. And then verse 29, what did Moses do at that?
He got scared.
All right.
He ran away.
He fled, went away. And where did he go?
Midian.
I want to stop right here tonight, but we have two sons in Midian.
Gershom
and
Eliezer.
Yes, fine.
Do you think when Moses went out there to be with the Jewish people, that he meant never to go home to the palace again?
I don't know.
Or do you think because
that man criticized who he was judging. He realized everybody knew he'd kill that man, that he ran away.
Yeah, I don't think he meant to stay out there continuously. I think he wanted to help with his brother and go back home to his palace.
Yeah, but then I think we had changed nicely, ran away.
Well, in this case, yes, he
fled. Well, in the Old Testament, it doesn't look like Pharaoh was going to kill him.
Yes, Pharaoh was going to kill him.
Well, that's why he ran away.
That's right.
And so, before that, he was always going to kill him, but in this, Pharaoh was his brother.
His father, because this is Stephen's defense. It's exciting. It's a long chapter, and he tells a lot of things. Because the question, remember, in verse 1 is, the high priest said, are these things so? He goes in a whole back stuff. And the thing about it is, the high priest let him. There's no time limit, apparently, on this defense. He's defending himself, pro se, no lawyer, no other one to help him. What is it?
They didn't like it anymore, did they?
Oh, they didn't like it. They wanted to kill him, and they finally did. So did the death.
Well, what's amazing is that Stephen really knew the scriptures.
Yes, he did.
And could defend his faith.
Yes, he did. The right stayed back to the Old Testament and the Word. Any other comments or questions before we close? Well, let's close with a word of prayer. We thank you, Father, for thy grace. We thank you for Stephen, his strong stand for thee. We thank you that he was a willing servant. Thank you for Moses and what he knew and talked about. Guide us and direct us as we close, and give us peace with our Savior. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I don't know who that would be in the sea.
Jacob.
I had Jacob. You got him. Let me see here. We'll talk to him. Now, Jacob, you called. We're just about ready to close. What do you got?
Yes, sir. I tried to get into the water before the prayer, but what your wife was talking about, I was thinking about that too. It's over here in Hebrews chapter 11. It's by faith, Moses, when he was coming years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God.
Shut your volume down. It's coming over. Shut your volume down, please, Jacob.
I have to get off the other.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, I'm going to get Hebrews 11 here. Let's see. Hebrews 11:23, that's great. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was 70 years old, this is what your wife was talking about, that maybe he didn't want to go back to the palace. By faith, Moses, when he was 20 years, in Hebrews 11:20, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward.
Yes. That's very good. That's exactly what it is. Thank you. Appreciate that, Jacob. That's way to Jacob from Texas. Jacob Romer and his mother, Dale. All right. Thank you for coming, and we hope to see you next week as well.